Gone dope.
Yes.
What kind?
Musical dope.
You get high?
Yes.
Off of what?
Music.
Are you on a trip or something?
Yes.
What kind of a trip?
Music.
How old are you?
I'm old in mind, but young in age.
Hi, this is Candy Staton, joining Mick O'Donnell.
up just another lost and lonely wife. You count up the years and they will be filled with tears. Love only breaks up to start over again. You'll get the babies, but you won't have your man.
Welcome along, Soul Discovery. We got a special show for you. Soul, R&B, house, dance, disco, and of course gospel. 30 albums and nominated for 4 Grammy Awards. Welcome along, Candy. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me.
It's okay. How's things with you at this present time?
Things are very good. Yeah. I can't complain. I am still walking and talking and got my right mind. And that's a blessing. Yeah. And then I still have my vocals, so
yeah.
I'm doing
and then, and we'll get to the end of the interview. You'll find that your vocals have actually got better as you went along, I think. So
they matured, didn't they?
Yes, they have, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Right, Alabama. Let's talk a little about your history. You come out of Alabama, okay. Born in Alabama?
Yeah. In Alabama.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you moved on to Tennessee, Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow, that's strange, Nashville. That country scene of country music. What was it? Was it like, because there was a lot of gospel going on around that period, and you were with the Jewel Gospel Trio, I believe.
Yes, I was. I left Alabama when I was 8 years old. My mom and dad separated. She just couldn't seem to get him to do right. And he was a gambler and an alcoholic. And that's where most of his money went to. And so she just got tired of scraping, you know, and trying to make do with what little bit we did have. We didn't have much. And my oldest brother had just moved to Cleveland, Ohio, and he gotten a job in steel mill. And they had a house in Twinsburg, Ohio. And my brother knew my mother's condition, so he sent for us to come to Cleveland. This is how we met Bishop Emile Jewell. My sister-in-law was going to the church, and they had a band, a real band, five-piece rhythm section. I'd never seen anything like that in my life in a church. And I was like, my eyes were big. I'm thinking, now I'm like 11 or 12. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is church? And they on the dance floor like you would be on a disco floor. And everybody was doing the holy dance. And I'm sitting in there in awe. And my sister-in-law goes and whispers to the people that were in charge that night that these little girls could sing. My sister and I were little singers. So they surprised everybody by calling us up. And we got up there and sung. The band, they knew the songs we were singing because they were old hymn songs, you know, Holy Ghost songs, and fast, you know, the kind you dance off of. And the place just went up, and I mean, it went wild. And Bishop Jewell wanted to take us to her private school. She had a parochial school in Nashville. This is how we got to Nashville. And then her granddaughter, I was a singer. So we started the Jewell Gospel Trio, and she carried us to her. She had about 30 churches. She was an overseer over 30 churches in different states. And that's how we got started with the Jewell Trio. We were able to meet Sam Cooke, and we got started making records with Nashboro Records. We did United Records and then Nashboro Records. And then it got on the radio, and we got popular, and we got big, and we were on the shows with people that we had admired since we were babies. The Davis Sisters, the Caravans, the Blind Boys, and James Cleveland, and Ahalia Jackson, and Sam Cooke, and Lou Rawls, and all of the staple singers. We are.
Wow.
Girls, all of a sudden dumped into this genre of music. And all of these people that were in auditoriums, we didn't know how to act, you know. So that's how we got with the Jewell Trio. And we stayed there. I stayed with the Jewell Trio until from about 12 until I was 17, realized that they weren't treating us fairly, you know, money-wise, financially. And we got big enough to know that we were being mistreated. So we left. And after that, I got married to, I went back home to my mother who still lived. We had gone back to Alabama to our old home place. And I went home from there and went back from Bishop Jewell from Nashville to Alabama. And bored to tears after you've gone all over the country. And then you come back to Alabama. And there's nothing going on but roosters and chickens crowing and goats running and mules and wagons and some cars and stuff. That is really, that's a culture shock, this, you know. And this is how I got involved in a young man and got married to him and started a family way, way too young. He didn't know anything and I didn't either. And we stayed married for 7 years and so we divorced. And I was trying my best to find, you know, a way to take care of my children, four children by him. I stayed barefoot and pregnant, and he stayed, accused me of every man I looked at. So I had to get away from him, had a nervous breakdown, got away from him, went back to Cleveland with my brother. And this is how we met. My sister and my brother-in-law had just come back from Spain. He was, they were both in teaching school. They were school teachers and educators. And I put all the children in different homes, and they wanted me to go back to school to become a nurse. And I was going to go to Vanderbilt until I saw, you know, placard that Clarence Carter was coming to town, whom I had met in Birmingham and sung for him. And he asked me if I ever leave that fool, call him. So I left that fool and I called him. He took me to see Rick Hall, and after that, it's history. You know what happened next?
Rick Hall.
All those records, yeah. Rick Hall.
From Fame Studios.
Oh, my God. That's the shortest I've ever told that story. I just want you to know.
Yeah. So round 68 then, you met up, you teamed up with Rick Hall and Clarence Carter.
Yes, and you
recorded your first single. And, your first single was I'd Rather Be an Old Man's Sweetheart Than a Young Man's Fool. But for the lot of the connoisseurs, it's the B-side in the UK that we go mad for, and that's for you.
Oh, yes. What a song. I love that song. It was such a beautiful song, such a beautiful ballad. But Young Hearts Run Free was the one they were pushing. I mean, not that one, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Rather Than Old Man's Sweetheart was the one they were really pushing for. We were with Capitol Records at the time. That's the one they were pushing. The up-tempo one.
But it was the B-side. So, For You was the B-side where the collectors all went for and the deep, hard soul boys went for. So we'll have
Isn't that amazing?
We'll have a listen to that now. Vocals of Candy Staton and written by George Jackson and produced by Rick Hall, Fame Records, 1969. So you were in the door now, so things started to happen with you.
Yes. It's we were doing record after record, album after album. We went through three major record labels with Rick. United Artists, Warner Brothers, and Capitol Records. In the Ghetto was with the United Artists. We did that. He kept changing distributors. And so we ended up with Warner Brothers. And that's how I got with Warner Brothers after 8 years of being with Rick, doing all those records that I did with him. Songs like For You and I'm Just a Prisoner, Sweet Feeling, Stand By Your Man, and all those songs were done during the period I was with Rick and with different big companies. I mean, they were really huge. Capitol, United Artists, and Warner Brothers, gee.
I guess you don't want me no more. You don't want me no more. Look again before you go. Before you leave me, let me know. Cause a good woman like me, sure, is hard to find. And your kiss don't last as long. I ain't the girl I used to be. I'm not gonna keep hanging on. No, no, no. You don't need me no more. Clothes are packed, babe, and she's waiting for you on the outside. For as long as we've been together, baby, how can you tell me this is goodbye?
To Soul Discovery and my special guest, very, very special guest, Candy Staton, live from the USA. Backtracking on that, taken from the album Stand By Your Man, that track is Too Hard, Too Hurt to Cry, Fame Records 1971. Before that one, 1970, You Don't Love Me Anymore, written and arranged with Candy Staton and Clarence Carter. Wonderful. And before that, Evidence, taken from the album Just a Prisoner. But then you moved on, 1974. You were at Burbank Records, and and the album was called Candy, and you were still with Rick Hall at that period in 1974.
Yeah.
And then there was one track on the album that was outstanding for me and a lot of the soul listeners in the UK, and it was a George Soul record, and it was called We Can Work It Out. It's just an incredible vocalist.
Yeah, I remember that. You're bringing back so many memories.
Well, let's have a listen and we can talk about it.
Baby, we can work it out. We've always found an answer and made it work out. Held each other, found a way somehow. Isn't this what love's all about? There's no need to give up now. Much too high to climb, but we'll help each other and we'll make it every time. Baby, let's try to work it out. No problem we can't solve together. Nothing we can't work out if we try. We can reach out and find the sun. talks like this to bring us through our ups and downs. The love between us overshadowing our doubts. Maybe we can work it out. Up now, I know the mountain seems much too high to climb. We'll help each other and we'll make it every time. Baby, let's try to work it out.
Just simply beautiful, wonderful, taken from the album Candy 1974, and We Can Work It Out. That was incredible.
Yeah, that was a beautiful song. Yeah, beautiful song.
Beautiful. Then, that was 74, then everything changed in 1976.
Oh, yeah. We're getting ready to get really excited.
I want to know how we got there. How did it happen to start with?
After my contract ran out with Rick, I had re-upped once, and then I was getting ready to re-up again. Rick still wanted to hang on to me. He didn't want to let me go. But then he knew that things were changing, and he wasn't going to disco. He was not going to go into that genre of music. So he decided to just let me go and sign with Warner Brothers. And that was the first record that I did with David Crawford in 76. It was so amazing with Rick. Rick was a workaholic. I mean, he would work you until you couldn't talk, singing to get the type of vocal that he wanted coming out of me. And, you know, he had worked with people like all the gruff voices, you know, like Wilson Pickett and all of those guys. And so he was used to that sound. And when I got to Burbank, after we had signed the contract with Warner Brothers, they were looking for a producer for me. And this is how David Crawford came into the picture, because he was out in Burbank. He'd moved to California and he was looking for an artist to produce. And so we both ended up at Warner Brothers, and they asked me would I be interested in letting David produce me. And I was more than interested because I knew David for so many years, even in the gospel industry, when he was playing keyboards for the Caravans. And we said that maybe one day we'd make a record together, and this was the right timing. And he signed the contract to be the producer. I signed the contract to come on the record label. And we ended up in the studio, and I had done several songs that David had written. And we came back, and we were trying to find a hit record. None of the records that we were doing seemed to be a hit. And so we sat, we would have lunch together, and David and I would talk, and I was going through a really hard time, personal, with a guy that I had hooked up with that was not right for me. He was very mean, he was evil, and he was threatening, and I didn't know how in the world I was going to get away from him. And I would start telling David about it. I said, David, I just don't understand this. Maybe you can help me find a way to get away from this man without, you know, anybody getting hurt. And so he said, okay, tell me about it. And I would tell him about it. He was writing it down. Everything I said, he was writing it down. And I should have writers for this song, but I didn't, because he took every lyric that I said, talked about doing lunch, and made a song out of it. And it was called Young Hearts Run Free. And when I came, I had to fly out, and I came back to finish the album. I walked in the studio and the music was playing. He'd already put it down. And if you look on the album jacket, you're going to see all the famous artists, even Denise Williams.
Yeah, I was going to say, June. Yeah. Everybody,
Everybody was just famous on that record. Just like the keyboard player. I mean, everybody was famous. And I came in and they had laid that record, the track down, and David was like, you go to lunch. I got the first verse done. I have the second one by the time you get back. And we walked into the studio and he said, are you ready? I said, yes. And so we went into the vocal booth and began. He sung it down once for me. And then he told me, do you think you can do it? I said, yeah, I can do it. So he goes back up into the control room. And he puts the track on, and I sung it once down, never making a mistake. And I'm practicing, singing the song. We're not cutting yet. So we were. David was cutting the record, my vocals. And he got on the speaker, and he said, you can come in now. I got what I want. So that's a one-take song.
Wow.
I did it the first time.
The first time.
Because it was me. I was singing about my life story.
Yeah.
And the feeling was there.
What was your feeling when you sung that to yourself for the first time in that vein of a dance record? How did you feel about it? Because before that it was all deep stuff and slow. And about
yes.
her, etc. Then you changed the whole thing. What was that like for you?
I didn't change the lyrics, but he changed the music.
Yeah.
If you listen to the lyrics, it's the same old sad song.
Yeah, but he's brought them upwards.
But it's danceable. Mm. You're dancing to a sad song and you don't even know it and you're happy. You know, everybody is happy. It's the weirdest thing.
What?
I looked at it, I said, and it hits every, because he had fasted for like a month to get the feel of the music together. And the young people, you know, it got on TikTok lately, I think it was last year, and went viral because the young people just got the gist of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They heard their parents listen to it and they didn't understand it. But after the children got grown and got lives of their own and started dating and getting with guys that were doing them the same way, they began to think, that song is deep. That song fits me. And every generation now gets the lyrics and dance by them.
That's incredible. One take. Unbelievable.
One take.
Wow. So that went on to create a massive, massive seller for you regarding you jumped on the bandwagon. Is that the right word to use with the disco side? Were you happy about that?
Oh, I was hilarious. It was the greatest transition I've ever made because I was stuck in the Chitlin' Circuit.
Yeah.
You know, singing those sad songs and songs we just played, which were great songs, but the where we were in the Chitlin' Circuit was not good venues. Some of them were, some of them wasn't. And then there were people, you know, you get these people screaming out and they get bring your own bottle thing and they would be too drunk. And I'm standing up there trying to finish a song and they said, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear Stand By Your Man. And I'm like, we're getting to that if you just shut up. You know, I just had to get real nasty with them sometimes. I got to the point, first of all, I didn't know how to handle them. Then I got to the point where I didn't care. I just told them off and kept singing. So I was so glad to get from that part of my life to a happy part. That I didn't need a band, I just put the CD in my, it wasn't CDs then, it was cassettes.
Yeah.
Put the, you know, it in my purse and get on the plane and go do my shows.
Wow. Yeah.
Give it to the sound man and it set me free. I loved it. My God, I loved it.
So open some big
it was
doors.
Wonderful.
Yeah, open some big
yeah,
doors.
Yeah, start opening great doors for me.
And then 1977, the Gibbs Brothers songs.
Yeah, and the reason I did that, David got to the point where he got very difficult. He got angry because the song went so big and he wasn't singing it. And so I'm like, How could you sing it anyway? It's not your song. You can't sing that song. It's your man. And he refused to do another album. We had to find another producer. We came up with Bob Monaco, which changed the whole atmosphere of where I was headed. Had I put out Victim right behind that, I would have been top of the charts. Didn't. He wouldn't do it. And I was so angry with him. We just missed our biggest opportunity because you got stubborn. And then after he put his record out late after that. He tried to do his own record, and it didn't do anything. It went nowhere. Then he come calling me again, asking me, can we do something else together? I said, no. I'm hard to work with, and I don't want to work with you no more. And so I was so angry. So I'll get you. And Bob Monaco, we got to do a couple of songs out of it. Listen to the music and Nights on Broadway. Yeah, they went pretty big.
The Nights on Broadway, was that your first video?
Yeah, that was the first one.
Yeah.
And then after that record, you know, medium, it didn't do as well as it could have done because they had to get used to another sound. That was a Bob Monaco sound, not the David Crawford sound. And producers have a lot to do with the hit records, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
So he called me back up, and I got another song I've just written. It's called Victim, and I know it's a hit, and I want you to, can we go back in the studio? I said, David, I don't trust you. Anymore. I said, you left me stranded hanging. So we could have had a beautiful relationship together, but you messed it up. Made you think that you could out sing and do your thing and get a hit. Nobody knows you. He was like, I'm so sorry. Can you ever forgive me? Give me one more chance and let's do another record together. And I said, no, I'm not doing it. And so Mo Austin called me from Warner Brothers and begged me to do it. And so I said, oh, what the heck? So I went on and did it. I went on in the studio, reluctantly, of course. And we got Victim.
Yeah. House of Love.
House of Love. 1978. Yeah. But after that, the rest is history. From there, it went to house music and all other kind of music.
Yeah,
and You Got the Love and all that stuff came after that. You know, people in Europe didn't know Stand By Your Man, Young Hearts Run Free, and You've Got the Love. They didn't know I could do the blues stuff. So they were introduced after that. A compilation album came out, and it sold about 150,000 records within months.
Yeah.
And they knew they had an artist, an unsung artist, unrecognized artist, Aretha Franklin and Gladys Knight and all the rest of them. But they weren't familiar with me until that album came out. Thank God for that album.
Yeah, the diehard people that collected your music, because what happened with your albums, we used to go and see who you were working with and go back and find the producers, what labels you were on, and then we'd find all your records. So the other thing is, that was the disco period, and then suddenly in 1980, you turned it all back round again with the album Candy Stadium.
Yes, I did.
You came back. You came back to soul.
Oh yeah.
Why? Yeah. Was there a reason behind that?
Well, I came to gospel after the Young Hearts Run Free days, and I came back to do other soul records, and they just weren't. They weren't doing it.
But I must intersect here. There was one track that opened everything up. And at the period when it came out, I thought you were going to go back to gospel. And I'd wish I'd put a pound on it and won a lot of money, because there was one record on this album that was the Candy Staten album from 1980. And this was the track.
Mm-hmm.
Just incredible. Halfway to Heaven.
Oh, yes.
I'm halfway there.
Soul Discovery. My special guest, special guest, Candy Staton. Halfway to Heaven, taken from the album Candy Staton 1980.
Halfway to Heaven.
That was beautiful. That is incredible, that track. It doesn't get a lot of plays, but I play it to death here.
Yes, it was a great, great song. I love that song.
Yeah.
That was with Jimmy Simpson and I and others that we were. I was at studio sound. I forget the name of it right now, but we were doing all that work after that, trying to get some more hit records, and they just weren't working. And I just got burned out. Just got burned completely out. And just decided to give my heart to the Lord and to go back to gospel music. And just, it was just soothing and so comfortable and so peaceful. I just got tired of the competition and the fighting and, you know, trying to get people to play my music. And so that's how I got into gospel those after that period and stayed with Trinity Broadcasting for 25 years. So you didn't see me for a long, long time. Until the love came out.
But you
got the love came out and
yeah. But you went through those gospel periods. You churned out 11 albums of gospel from that period.
Oh yeah, on our own label.
Yeah. And then in 1986 you brought an album out of the blue with You've Got the Love on it. What was the reason for that period of time? Why did you do that in the middle of the gospel material?
It was by chance. That's another by chance record. I was with Dick Gregory. I was doing a gospel concert, and I was in Nassau, Bahamas, and I met Dick Gregory, the comedian. He's passed away since then. And he asked me to do a song for him. He had this diet called the Bahamian Diet, and he was over there promoting it. And he said, I've got a guy that I'm experiment on. It worked for me. So I got him on this diet. He was weighing 900 pounds. And they had him in a chalet near the ocean. And he said, he's on this diet, and I'm trying to do a video for him as he loses weight. And I got a song that I'd like for you to sing if you want to sing it. So I said, sure, I'll do it. I'll do it, Dick, because I've been knowing him for years. He said, well, I'm going to send for you and you'll come to Chicago and do it. So we did a contract and everything, because I asked him for a certain amount of money. He didn't have it, and so he couldn't pay me. So he gave me half publishing on the song.
Wow.
And so I said, fine, that's fine. Never thinking the song was going to ever do anything anyway. So what, you know? So we did the song, and it lay dormant for about 10 years. And then this guy, Aaron Abdullah, put it together. He found the vocal. He found the a cappella vocal. He had out this music. He was great. He passed away, too, about a couple of years ago. And they put the two together, and he played it on his show. Aaron Abdullah played it, and John Trulove got a hold of it and put it together and did copies of it. And that's how it got started in Europe. And it went from there to, they made about 500 copies of it, and they sold it for like £180, and it went like hotcakes.
Yeah.
And that's the way that song started. And now it's like an anthem.
Yeah.
In Europe.
Yeah. And then 2009, Florence and the Machine.
Of course.
Yeah.
Wow. People used to ask me, aren't you mad that she... I said, oh, I'm glad, because I could have the publishing. Come on. This is a business.
That's what I said. That was a good deal at the time.
Yeah, it's no big deal. More power to her.
Yeah, so during that period in 86, and then suddenly you just come out with your first ever Christmas album. I know we're nowhere near Christmas, but you came out with a Christmas album, and it was just, there's one track on there that I play every year at Christmas. I just absolutely love it. Let's have a listen to it and tell me all about it, because I think it's one of the greatest Christmas egg songs ever recorded.
You know, Christmas can be a lonely time, especially when you're alone. You're sitting there looking at the fireplace. All the Christmas trees are lit and shining so bright and beautiful. Presents under the trees, nobody to share it with. This can be real lonely on Christmas. So many things happen on Christmas night. But you know what? Things change when I found you. Oh, my life is complete now. My joy is so sweet. On a Christmas night.
On a Christmas night.
I found you.
On a Christmas night.
You know what? I was lost and alone. Feeling far from home. Looking in the mirror, staring at the telephone. The kids playing in the snow, and a lonely mistletoe. On a Christmas night, I found you. When I found you, I found peace. I found so much peace.
Ooh.
On a Christmas night, I found you. Ooh. Oh, you made me so happy. My joy is so sweet. I'm not lonely anymore.
On a Christmas night.
Oh, things happen to
to me on a Christmas night. My Christmas night.
Taken from the album Christmas in My Heart 2001, on a Christmas night. Candy, you produced that. It's a brilliant, brilliant record.
Bill sent that to me to put on that album. I plan to make a traditional one before I leave the earth with the regular song, Jingle Bells and all that stuff. Right. But that's later. Okay. I'll probably do that for next Christmas.
Right. Then it happened. One of your greatest albums, His Hands. What a fantastic album that is. That completely shocked everybody. On his records.
I remember the first night I sung His Hands and I cried like a baby on stage. And I mean, they were giving out handkerchiefs and, you know, tissues, and everybody in the audience was crying. I just broke down because it was so hurtful. So many things that I had gone through in my lifetime just came back so vividly. You know, how men had put their hands on me and I had been beaten and drug problems and all that stuff, and I just couldn't make it. It just all so vivid came back. I didn't want to break down in front of my fans, but I couldn't help it. I started singing that song at the Jazz Cafe, and I just couldn't sing it no more. And it was like a funeral. I said, I didn't mean for it to turn out like this. But it was it's a very deep song. It's really, really deep.
There were a lot of things in his touch. Sometimes the slightest whisper, oh, it could hurt so much. I could feel him coming nearer, his little noises and such. Then my man would lay his hands on me. Ooh, yes he would. Oh, he might touch me in a way that a man should. Bring me to passions that only he could. Answer some earthly need whenever he would. When my man would lay his hands on. Small.
2006.
My God,
produced by Martin Evers out of Nashville. His hands
on me.
And of course, a William Oldman song as well. Candy, unbelievable. Thank you very much. What's your plans for the future?
Well, I got a new record that's getting ready to come out. It's called Earth Roots, and it's got a lot of the songs that I've done, a lot of the genres that I've gone through. It should be coming out within the next 2 months. And I'm trying to do it. Hopefully, we can get a Grammy off of this one. I'm praying we will. But it's a lot of songs. I just would like to let you know, I just covered a Mick Jagger song that's going to be on there.
Right, okay.
Shine a light on me.
Oh, and, wow.
ITV already told me that as soon as it gets out, please send it to them, and they're going to start playing it. So it's going to be a really interesting album. It's going to be a little gospel, a little pop, a little house, a little blues, a little gospel. It's going to be everything.
Wow.
So I'm sure people are going to really love it. They're going to enjoy it.
I look forward to it.
And then I have a book out that I just wrote, Beyond a Shadow of Doubt. It's miracle stories. When I was with TBN, there are a lot of things that I went through and God delivered me. And I'm just going to show you that he's real. God is really real. Through this book, it's called Beyond a Shadow of Doubt. You can get all the stuff if you just on my website. It's www.candy-staten.com. And go to the candy store. And we got everything that you want right there.
It's been an absolute honor talking to you. Thank you very much. And you take
You're so welcome.
And you look after yourself, okay?
I will, and you too. You take care.
God bless. Take care. Bye.
Okay. God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Little by little, you're breaking me down. Slowly but surely, you got me turning around. Like a rock in the river, shaped by the flow. Oh yeah, opening up my heart. I'm breaking down slow. I tried to fight. There ain't no use.
Forget, go direct to her website, Candy Staten. Go into her candy store, she's got loads of information on there, and do some research, because we haven't played anything really to what she's done in her catalogue. But she just agreed off phone, off air, she'll be coming back for part two and part three. So thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Go directly to her website. Give her some support. She's a wonderful, wonderful person. And Bill, thank you very much. You're a gentleman as well. He'll be listening to Soul Discovery. An exclusive interview with Candy Staten. And I shall leave you with this little gem. Catch you next time.